Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a note for a later time here in today's show, because we have a million things going on. Obviously, news circulating around the Browns and the draft and what is going to be. That's a dead given. But also today, the Cavs tipping off here in just a few minutes, but the Guardians putting together what might be one of the most pitiful opening day performances that I've watched in my lifetime. Or home opener, home opener experiences that I've seen in my lifetime, in which you scored a run, and it took three consecutive walks from Mike Clevenger to do it. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here until 11 tonight on The Fan. Michael Bohm running the board as well on the 2020s, and working in the bag, Anthony Allant. But let's talk a little Guardians following, again, a home opener victory, 1-0 over what was the worst team in baseball last year, who I think has taken minor steps to get better, but not massive ones. You improved to a whopping 4-6 on the year to kick things off, and you do it by pushing your only run across by the way of the walk. Thank you, Mike Clevenger. Thank you very much. Because, again, it took a nasty hop coming from Carlos Santana on a hard hit ball, and then a failed pick out of Clevenger himself, followed by three straight walks and inability to find the strike zone coming from Mike Clevenger. The only reason that the Guardians were not forced into extra innings today, the only reason that they actually pick up a win, they had three hits across the whole day. You had a game that had five total hits. I mean, truthfully, one of the just worst games that you're going to see probably all year long, unless you love low scoring, ineffective hitting, just pitching battles left and right, in which I can look at Ben Lively today and say, you didn't give up a run. Good job. Can't be mad at you. You went five innings. You gave up two hits. You also struggled mightily with your command. So I don't know where I place that in the realm of how confident I feel versus the fact that it was, 30 degrees at first pitch, and nobody could hit the baseball as expected on a day as cold as today. But this is a game where I sit back and look at it and go, yeah, it's game 10 of the season, guys. We have 162 of them. I can sit back and throw one game out the window. But today, for me, almost feels like the early season tipping point of, yeah, wow, this offense is going to require a lot of luck and a lot of things to go their way. Because yes, it's cold. That doesn't account for you getting three hits. Okay, that's just a bad piece of hitting. Putting one run on the board and not even driving in the run, but just sitting there and watching four balls come across the plate. If you're Nolan Jones, tip of the cap to you. But like that's not anything that's even, it was a cold day, it was really hard to hit. Yeah, guys, across baseball, there's cold days along the East Coast all day long. Those games aren't ending 1-0. This was a pitiful performance out of the entirety of the offense on both sides, which I think if you look up and down the offense right now and the way that they've been playing, you probably go, yeah, that's about on pace for what they've been doing. And at the White Sox, it's the assumption that you should be taking care of the White Sox. It's still a divisional game. We still take the win, but you should be assuming, oh, yeah, the White Sox probably aren't going to do much. This team, while starting off better than they might be expected to all year long, still expecting this team to finish among the bottom of the AL Central and be pretty comfortably in the basement there. You won today because Mike Clevenger couldn't find the strike zone. That's the bottom line. And it is. It is the tipping point. Because if I came into this year, let's say, for instance, I'm the Atlanta Braves, who are dead last in basically every hitting category you could imagine. Everybody on their lineup is practically hitting a batting average of 100 or below. Okay, it's bad. They don't have very many of them that start with a 2. If that's the team, you might go, oh, wow, we started off a lot worse than I expected. But at some point, this offense should come back to the mean, right? They should rise to the mean and start to pick up wins, start to look like a more competent offense as they go on. For the Guardians, I went into this year looking at the offense saying, you got rid of Josh Naylor, you got rid of Andrés Giménez, you can make this work. Again, I've said multiple times, I didn't even mind the deals that were made. But I look at the two teams, and I look at the team that's here right now for the Guardians and the roster that you put out, the lineup you put out every single night. I go, yeah, coming into this year, hitting was going to be a concern. I'm not positive this team's going to be hitting the ball around the yard. And I was almost fooled going into that Kansas City series thinking, wow, Kyle Manzardo's off to a great start. This team's hitting the cover off the ball. Just everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people and a lot of the guys on this team off to a relatively hot start. We take 2 out of 3 against a very good Kansas City team. And over the last 2 series in a game, it's been a wake-up call. It has been a smack to the face that if I come in and am not scared about this offense all year, all offseason heading in, and I think they're going to be a really good offense, nothing to worry about, slow start. It's the problem of I start the year, I'm concerned for the offense, and then through the first 10 games, oh yeah, that fear has been validated. It's been verified that this team could struggle to hit the ball. Because you've seen a good start out of Jose Ramirez, you've seen a good start out of Stephen Kwan, congratulations, pat on the back, Carlos Santana will toss you in there. Those are like the 3 guys that I have the utmost confidence in to come into the year and look how I expect them to look. All those guys hitting upwards of between 250 to 300, 260 to 300, and going to be consistently on base. Great. I have my top 3 hitters pretty much figured out. Guys, 4 through 9 right now is a pure struggle. There's not a single guy on this 26-man roster that I can turn to and say that when you get to their point in the lineup, I'm feeling extra confident today. Again, it is essentially, for me, the tipping point of concern. It is stopping to be the, oh, well, we're only 10 games in, and starting to be, yeah, this offense, you might have the ability to do this 15 more times throughout the season, this stretch of games that we just went on, right? We're like 1/16th of the way in. But even doing this 15 more times, I don't know what's going to change other than the weather. Right, the ball might start to fly out of the yard a little bit more, but that's going to happen for each and every other team that you're going up against. And oh, by the way, not overly confident in our starting pitching either. The Guardians are banking on a lot of young guys to come through and step up for them this season. And early on, I have no faith. I don't have faith that the moves that you have made have been made with true confidence that this team's going to take a massive step up and there's young guys on this team who are going to contribute. I mean, we could sit here and read off the batting averages. I'm not going to, but you could. It's a gross number. It is absolutely disgusting the amount of guys that you have in this lineup who, again, their batting average doesn't start with a 2. Heck, their batting average doesn't start with a 1. And I just don't understand it. I don't know where, if you're looking for the Guardians, that they're going to make a push into the playoffs to climb back to where they were last year. And the fact of it's going to get done on the offensive side of the ball at the plate, the way that it pretty much was done last year, a combination of that and the bullpen. I don't know where you change, right? You don't have to have the most confidence, and I didn't, in Josh Naylor and Andrés Giménez, but at some point, those guys were driving in runs. They could be counted on to drive in runs in at least a consistent, a reliable rate, right? Josh Naylor's batting average might not have been off the charts. He put the ball over the wall. Same thing for Andres. Not the ball over the wall, but the batting average might not scare you. He came through in some clutch moments, put some runs on the board. He was a consistent part near the bottom of the lineup. that a lot of days you could trust. Or if you want to put him at the top, anywhere they moved him, he was a rather consistent piece that you could trust. And right now I got five guys in the batting order in a row. And I'm like, okay, this might just be five straight outs. Six straight outs. Six straight would be the correct. Yeah, six guys in the batting order. Scrap the five. Four through nine. I can sit here. I can listen to the complaints that it's one game. They won the game. Calm down. It's 4-6. I mean, we're two games under 500 at the end of the day in an early season. That can turn very quickly, and that it can. But I just look around and try to find, okay, who's not performing up to expectations? Who am I going to count on to take a major rise with any reliability to push up? And it's like, I'd like to trust in some of these guys, but I have no reason to. Nothing other than high hopes that this lineup turns it around. And it's really the case for the team is that every area you expect this team to struggle, they have sat there and struggled in that exact area. Defense, I can expect that to turn around, although there's an argument to be made that taking Andrés Giménez off the right side of the infield could begin to cost the defense at points too. But I expect it to be rather fine defensively. I don't think this team took that big of a hit between swapping out Giménez and Naylor for what is now Arias and Santana, right? You still got a Gold Glover on that side. You'll probably be all right. Don't consider that right side of the infield to be all that much of a determiner on how good my defense is anyway. But again, you just look at it and think, okay, it shouldn't be all that much. That I can see to turn around, right? The defense can go back to where it was. The offense, I'm now just looking around and trying to pick guys out of a hat. Who's going to be the one that actually looks decent this year? And if the 26-man were to look different by the time you got to June, I'd be a little surprised, but I can't say that I'd be overly surprised based on who you've built it with. Again, there is a major concern. I have gotten to the point where I don't know how much I can trust this Guardians offense going deep into the year, and it is. This now is my tipping point. I'm officially concerned that the Guardians throughout the entirety of the season are going to struggle to hit the baseball. You can call it an overreaction. You can call it what you want. We're 10 games in, and I have not seen anything that is going to tell me any differently. As I look up and down the roster, and I see two guys with hits, and it's two of the guys that I really would have counted on to have them. I'm looking for something to change, and I don't know what it's going to be. 216-474-0092. Is today the tipping point for concern for the Guardians hitting in? I get it. It's 10 games in, but I think we've reached that point. You can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can do our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I want to talk about a little bit of a look back at the Guardians last year to where they are this year, and I think some things have changed as well. A lot down the line. Guest-wise today, Darryl Weider going to join us sometimes after the Cavs game wraps up. He's pulling double duty between Progressive and then going over to Rocket Arena and covering both teams, and then he'll talk to us some point in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll also have John Shipley, Jaguars on SI, going to join us for Draft Daily coming up at 8:40. Jaguars are drafting fifth. See where they feel, sort of sitting in the almost area of limbo. Right?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You probably aren't going to have Hunter. You probably aren't going to have Carter available to you. What is the next guy on your list that you're looking at? We'll talk to John again coming up at 8:40 for Draft Daily. We'll get to the Station Buzz coming up at 7:40. Get a grip at 9. We'll bring in Anthony Allant later on as well for Change Your Mind. A lot to get to. But right now, 216-474-0092. Is today the tipping point for you for a Guardians offense that had to rely on 3 straight walks to drive in their only run of the game in a home opener that everybody came out to see? It's Jake Volnick with you guys here going up until 11 on Overtime on The Fan. Today, the tipping point, taking 3 straight walks off of Mike Clevenger in order to push across a run. Yes, it's a cold day. Yes, it's game number 10. For me, looking at the offense, yeah, I can officially say I look at this team and go, I don't know that they're going to hit all year long. I don't know if this is a team that I can look at and say, I can rely on the offense to provide me something. Just especially, guys, the way the lineup is built right now, and this isn't a knock at Steven Vogt by any means, because well, when you have 6 guys in your lineup who can't hit the ball all that well, not really a ton of great ways you can structure the lineup, but just having a top 3 of Kwan, Jose, and Carlos Santana, it's like, all right, yeah, those 3 guys I can count on. Maybe in the first inning, they'll push across some runs. Maybe in some innings where it starts with Kwan leading off, you can push across some runs. Again, 4 through 9, I'm just like, yeah. I mean, you're basically banking on full-on luck in order to get something done here. And I'm sure that a lot of the guys in the lineup are going to look a lot better than they currently do. I don't want to act like I'm expecting, for instance, John Kenzie Noel to hit 059 for the entirety of the year. Or I'm expecting Brian Rocchio to hit 172, although maybe not that far off. But that's my point. That's the entire thing that I'm looking at this year and staring at and going, all right, yeah, guys, a lot of guys are having bad years. But me breaking down each spot in the lineup and saying, does this guy come up from where he is right now with his current batting average? A lot of those answers are, yeah, maybe slightly. I expect them to come up slightly, but it's not like I have Jose Ramirez right now hitting 189, where I can be like, yeah, by the end of the year, he's going to be hitting 270, okay? I can take a step away and say we're going to be just fine. In fact, I can look at Jose and be like, you're hitting 310. That's not going to happen for the whole year. Hey, you won't be too far below it, but you'll be lower. We'll pull you back a bit from where you started off the year. Same thing probably with Kwan hitting 316. Probably pull that back just a tad. And the guys that you're looking to take jumps and are expecting to take jumps are in a very similar vein. A very similar, yeah, I probably expect them to jump up a little bit, but it's not like I'm expecting you to take this massive leap and I have 300 hitters who aren't hitting 300. No, it's a lot more of guys that I expect to be hitting 225 that are hitting 150. Again, it's just not that big of a jump. I have major concerns for the offense, and where I thought I might be able to rely on this team to say, you looked at a lot of guys and thought maybe they're taking a massive step up, and we have reason to believe that guys like Brian Rocchio beyond just the playoffs last year and guys like Gabe Arias and Daniel Schneeman are going to take steps and are going to take not just steps but leaps to become better baseball players. Just better hitters at the plate. And I tried to have that belief. I tried to have that reliance. I just don't know that I do. Again, 216-474-0092. I want to get out of the phone, take some of your calls. Let's go out. Henry is in Lakewood. Henry, how do you feel about the offense 10 games in?
Yeah, I would take a little bit of a softer view than you, I think. I mean, to me, actually, like, when you look at the lineup compared to last year, you have, you know, yes, we did lose Naylor. I don't agree that the Jimenez loss was as big on offense. I think it does hurt the defense. Right. But, I mean, Arias is already hitting better than Jimenez hit last year. And you can argue he's, you know, whatever, he's not as good of an all-around player. But I do think you've already upgraded that spot. I think you have potential, at least with Nolan Jones in right field, to be a lot better than what you got from Will Brennan. And then with the platoon with Noel, if he, you know, starts hitting like he did anytime before August of last year, then you've got a nice platoon there. And then I have a lot of faith in Manzardo, too. I think he's hit throughout his entire minor league career. He had the one, you know, slower spell in his first stint in the bigs, and then second part of his big league career, he was a lot better, and obviously played well in the playoffs. So I think there's a lot more reason to kind of chalk it up to, you know, matchups against really good pitching to start the year, cold weather, and small sample size than what I think your panic attack is a little bit overblown. Not panic attack, sorry, wrong word. But
no, I mean, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're going at, Henry. I just, again, like, it's not that I don't have hope for these guys to turn around. It's not that I have zero faith in any of them. But it's like, that's all I have to base anything off of is, John Kenzie Noel isn't going to basically Oscar Gonzalez me, right? And he's not going to come out and play really well for a stretch 1 year and then come out the very next year and be like, yeah, that's kind of the guy that was outside the top 30 of prospects, had a bit of a slower time getting through the minors, and then is just an upside power bat that doesn't pan out. And for a lot of the guys, it's the same. Like Manzardo, I'm higher on than a lot of, you know, the other guys sitting in this lineup that I think can turn it around. But even like Nolan Jones and John Kenzie sitting there, it's like it could be a good platoon. I don't have reason to fully believe that it's going to be a great one, though.
I respect that. I think it, I agree with you on Noel. I'm not like super sold that, you know, his hot start in the bigs and then obviously the amazing playoff moment were I do worry that was more like the anomaly than the reality with him. But I do think Nolan Jones, like, look at his 2023 numbers. He was incredible. And he was 20-20-20 in 100 games, hit 300. Obviously, it is in Colorado, so he gets a little bit of a bump from that.
Right.
And then last year he had the back spasm, so it was, you know, like, I think it's kind of like, you look at Kwan last year when he had back spasms. He was incredible in the first half, slowed down in the second half. Playoffs, he was back after he was on the IL, and then he got healthy, and then he was back to being Kwan. I think you could theoretically have something similar with Nolan Jones, where he had the same issue last year, never really got right. And, you know, if he's healthy now, and you get 2023 Nolan Jones, that's a huge upgrade to the lineup and right. And I guess the one other thing we haven't touched on yet that is probably a bigger loss than what, I think we're realizing is the lack of David Fry. I know it's not a big name, but he was an all-star for us last year. Like, if he gets back in the lineup, that helps. I don't know exactly his timetable with the injury, but I do think there's reason for optimism with at least some of the guys. And I'm with you on Noel, though.
Yeah, and Henry, I appreciate the call. And it's not to say that anybody sitting out there like Henry with optimism on the team is completely in the wrong. It's not to say that what I'm saying isn't slight overreaction. But again, a lot of the reasons to believe in this team offensively are, I expect you to turn around. And I think the Kwan point going to Nolan Jones is a great one, looking at two guys with back spasms and how it impacted their seasons last year. The only difference that I would bring up is Kwan has a track record to prove, he's going to figure it out. Kwan's obviously one of the best average hitters in all of baseball right now. He's an incredible defensive player. When he goes through a bad stretch, we can push that one off to the side. Nolan Jones truly is, yes, dealing with back spasms last year, but in some point a coin flip. He's had one good year. He's had 1 year where he was injured and didn't look as great. He's at some point a coin flip. I had fears for the offense coming in, relying on so many guys to basically live up to their peak or come closer to their peak than what is going to be their valley and what we've seen them do at points in their career. And I think you're relying on, for this team to be successful, probably 3-4 guys to turn it around out of that stretch. And it's a bigger number than you'd probably ideally like. You're hoping that 50% of your swings end up to be hits, 60% of your swings end up to be hits. It's a bigger number, again, than you really want to rely on as a team. In baseball, playing a 162-game season, you want to take as many sure things as you can possibly get. And it felt like the Guardians are living on question marks, and at least early on, aren't really feeling the fruits of their risk right now. Let's go back out to the phones. Deimos is in Shaker. Deimos, what's going on?
Hi. That last caller brought up every salient statistical point about why the current Guardians are looking better than you think. And just because they're starting off with some mistakes, hitting, you know, like they're not hitting that great. Who cares? The game's early. We've got the manager of the year, you know, and I'm not going to hit the panic button on the opening day where we won. And come on, man. I mean, like what's wrong with you? Like, to sit here and...
I mean,
and
won 1-0 with three hits on the board and relied on three walks to push across a run. That's not great.
You can stop talking when you say they won, okay?
I know. See, this is what we're not going to do. We're not going to sit here and go with it. And Demos, if you want to moan through it, I appreciate the call. If you want, we're not going to sit here and rely on, it's going to be just because they won, it's great. You relied on just because they won last year at the Guardians. It was the same conversation at the deadline. Oh, they're winning. Stop being so critical of the team. Stop being so critical. No, you don't stop being critical because the win column looks great. That's not how you go through and evaluate things. Just because you're winning games is not an excuse to accept mediocrity, to accept less than mediocrity. I'm sorry, you beat the worst team in baseball by one run today, and I'm supposed to be okay with it. Again, 162-game season, it's a random game. I'm fine with that point. You played like garbage. The offense this year has been garbage 10 games in. And if it was, again, if you were the Braves and saying it's a great team, it's a great offense the way that it looks, and we're coming out slow, sure. Everything you rely on, every statistical point that you rely on is like, Nolan Jones was great in 2023. That's not a statistical point. That is still at some point a coin flip, and you're looking for a stroke of luck for him to get back to what he was over the course of one season. I'm not just going and accepting they won today. Yeah, you win a lot of random days in baseball. That congratulations, the White Sox found themselves winning nearly, 60 games last year. Doesn't mean they weren't a garbage baseball team. I can't accept they won one day in baseball. Yeah, it's one bad hitting day. It's also one win. I'm not celebrating every single individual Guardians win in a 162-game season. I mean, seriously, come on. 216-474-0092. This is the tipping point for me early on in the season. Again, I'm not hitting the panic button. I'm not saying that this team's going to just completely flake out and be horrible, but you got to put some fear. You got to put some urgency on the team to actually come through and hit the baseball. Nicholas is in Chardon. Nicholas, I'm not as hostile towards you, I promise.
No, you're making you're hitting a lot of good points there, Jake. I totally agree with you. This team right now is going on so many unknown variables, it's getting discouraging. Like you said, Nolan Jones, one good year out of, five? John Kenzie Noel, we don't know. He came in like a lightning in the bottle from the minor leagues and hit everything, nearly tore the cover off the baseball. Now he's struggling even to get a hit on the baseball. This offense, or this team, has never been known for high-powered offense, and until ownership wants to go out and actually spend the money to get a good bat in this lineup, we're never going to be that.
Yeah, I mean, and there's points to, like, I get they can't spend the money. They tried to spend the money to get Jimenez. They could have, in theory, tried to pony up the money to pay Naylor, which I don't even think would have been, you know, it's a guy that can hit the ball over the wall. There's at least that for them, but it's... Yeah, like, you're not even going to have to spend the money, but if you just sit here and rely on question marks, like last year, I think to some degree, less of a degree, they did the same thing, and it worked out. There were a lot of great hitters that panned out from that team, but you're banking it now on back-to-back years or other guys to step up in that exact same way, while also, by the way, relying on the most volatile thing in all of baseball, which is a reliable bullpen, to be just that again with a less-than-perfect rotation.
I think you're almost asking too much from this team, and I hate to see where this goes. I'm hoping for the best. I'm praying for the best, but I just, like you, I don't know what to make of it so far.
Yeah, and Nicholas, I appreciate the call. At some point, guys, the Guardians now have to reprove it to me. They had a great year last year, but probably a year that was, and I don't want to call it fluky, but more of upside than maybe what they were projected, considering they came into the year looking around like 82 wins. By the way, where Vegas is once again projecting you to be, they're expecting the Guardians to take a massive hit from where they were last year. And they have to prove it to me that we're more of the team that we were last year and not the team that everyone expects us to be. I'm not just accepting the team was good last year and they're off to a slow start. Keep your face smiling. Keep yourself happy. I'm not relying on that. 216-474-0092. If you want to jump in, we'll get to the station buzz coming up here as well in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan. And it's not to say that the team is going to downright. This is not the whole point of the conversation is not me dooming the Guardians for the 2025 season off of 1/16th of the season down. But when you have concerns that have begun to climb higher and higher and higher, and it's the ones that started with the beginning of the season, and you look at the team and you go, yeah, well, let's see. Brian Rocchio ended the playoffs hitting hot, came back this year looking the way that he was. Gabe Arias hitting .226. Yeah, it's about what you'd expect him at. It's about his, it's higher than his career average, but not by much. There's just so many things. Again, I can go up and down the batting order. At this point, I might have over the last course of the 44, 45 minutes here. But it's not dooming them. It's to say, again, there has to be a point for you that is at least a bit of a wake-up call where you just stop accepting what 2024 was and start looking to what 2025 is. And maybe 10 games is too early for you to do that. Maybe I'm ahead of the curve here. I'm faster than everybody else to it. But if I had concerns coming in, those concerns begin to live up to what they were. Yeah, he does start to get, I think, to the point where it is now, the point where I am a little bit nervous and worried about the way that this team's going to be able to hit the baseball. And I think it comes faster than not. 10 games in for me is about all that it takes watching the way they've hit the ball so far this year. And as a young team, a hot start is very important to me. And it's not just me. I mean, we had guests covering the team across the station, covering baseball across the station, that said something very similar. This team getting off to a hot start is going to be very impactful and very imperative to the way that their season's going to go because they are so young, and younger hitters, younger players in general, not that they become discouraged, but a little bit. You become discouraged early off of, wow, well, this isn't going so great for me. And then you're searching elsewhere to find a guy to fill a spot. Again, Station Buzz coming up here in a couple minutes. I want to get back out of the phones. Oh, and Kathleen's gone. I was going to go out to Kathleen. I was going to see what she had to say. But Kathleen is no longer feeling it. So I guess without further ado, let's hear the most pressing things from our station's guests across the day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
With the Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off with Chris Gimenez, former Cleveland Indians pitcher as well, part of the now MLB ClevelandGuardians.tv, was on today. And speaking to the opposite side of my point, which might be the concern of itself, is that there's multiple ways to go. He says that pitching and defense just isn't where it needs to be.
It's got to be the starting pitching. Starting pitching and defense, so synonymous with this organization in regards to being elite at an elite level. We talk about Cleveland being a pitching factory. Well, that's still the case. They've just gotten off to a little bit of a slow start here early on in the season. And I think home cooking is exactly what they need. They need some cold weather. Some of these guys seem to thrive in situations like this. Start the season off with a 9-10 game road trip is not fun for anybody. But I think if you're looking for one thing, it'll be starting pitching. And that's on Ben Lively today.
Ben Lively, luckily, and this was obviously before the game had kicked off with afternoon drive earlier on in their show, but Ben Lively looked pretty good today. Again, it was cold. Neither team could hit the baseball. Walked himself into some sticky situations early. Walked, I think, three batters across the day. He went five innings. He gave up no runs. I have no complaints about Ben Lively. In fact, Ben Lively might be the most reliable pitcher so far early on in the Guardians season. And that one, I'll give it to you. That would be overreaction if we went through it and claimed that statement. Most of these guys are like two starts in. yeah, that was the third start for Ben Lively. We'll let that take some more time to figure out what's going on. But the hitting's a different thing. But the fact that you can look at this team right now and go, well, the starting pitching's come out of the gates awful. The offense's come out of the gates awful. The defense's come out definitely subpar and not what you're used to. Guys, what is this team doing well right now? Other than trying to maintain close to a 500 record, they've come out of the gates just like molasses. It's as slow as it could possibly start, other than putting up some wins in the win column, which, by the way, is the worst thing possible for me. The fact that this team could scrape by some wins while looking bad is the part that I hate, because everybody is sitting here going, well, it's not that bad. They're still winning baseball games. Yeah, well, okay, we can keep living with that. They win baseball games until it really matters. That's the fear that sort of sets in. Sticking on the Guardians and the pitching concerns, Carl Willis, Guardians pitching coach, was on with Ken and Anthony this morning and talked about how they think Emmanuel Clase is going to figure things out just in time.
Well, I think after playing a really clean and good series overall in Kansas City to start the year, we struggled in San Diego and L.A. We didn't play our best baseball, made some mistakes that are uncharacteristic for us. But I think, you know, I'm confident that'll be a blip on the screen when we look back on the course of the season, because we know part of what's been our identity and our success is the way we take care of the baseball, the little things we do well, run the bases, make fundamentally sound plays. And I think once that gets on track and we continue to solidify, get more consistent pitching, I think we'll be able to string some wins together.
That's on me. That was a flub by me. That's Chris Antonetti, who's down with Baskin and Phelps, talking about the team's early struggles. But again, it's just, basically we're going to expect things to get into gear here. We're expecting them to sort of get into their rhythm, get into their groove, and it's just a slow start. Okay. If everybody wants to live and die with it's just a Guardian slow start, I guess we'll just continue to go down the list. We'll continue. Again, I'm not putting a smile on my face and just accepting that they won a baseball game today, okay? It's not. If the Guardians won 1-0 every single day where they walked in a run, the only thing I'd be barking about at the end of the season is the fact that the pitching is great and that offense isn't going to fly in the playoffs because people are going to hit the baseball. You can't just continue to have games like today. I'm not just going to rely on, it's just a struggle and they're going to turn it around. I'm going to have concerns along the way into doing that. If I can't react to baseball over 10-game stretches, when can I react to baseball? When do I get to do it if I can't do it in 10-game increments? Do I have to wait 60 games? Do I have to wait half a season before I can have a take on the Guardians? I don't think so. Like I mentioned about Carl Willis earlier, again, flub on my part. Emmanuel Clase and the fact that he's going to figure it out when he was on with Ken Anthony this morning. Here we go.
You know, the stuff is for the most part the same. Execution still getting tightened up. And really, again, just the constant reminder of him, you know, here's a guy that throws a cutting fastball, you know, 98 to 101. It's easy for people to think, oh, nobody can hit that. Well, these guys can. And so the usage of his slider is so important to him to keep hitters off of just coming up and trying to cheat and get to that fastball. And so sometimes he needs that reminder. Sometimes our catchers need that reminder. And I think this will all resolve itself in a very quick fashion.
I think if there's a guy that I want to have faith in, that I have evidence to have faith in, well, Emmanuel Clase 2 years ago led the league in blown saves. I still think that he can figure it out. Looking at the way that he pitched last year and just then trying to turn on it and say, yeah, he was basically a Cy Young candidate to he's going to give up 3 runs across every 10 games the Guardians play. I would sure hope not. I would sure hope his ERA is going to plummet into the ground and he's going to look much more like the guy he did last year. Again, part of me is just even a scare on trying to rely on an elite bullpen last year. By the way, may I bring up the point that I've been bringing up for the last 40 minutes? The Guardians are relying on guys who have not very large sample sizes, small sample sizes. Every guy who's performed for you outside of Class A is of a small sample size. Tim Herron, Hunter Gaddis, Cade Smith, all of those guys, small sample size. Like, those are the guys you're counting on to be back next year, and you have 1 year of evidence to think that all of them are going to be great. Very difficult, especially as a bullpen pitcher, to be elite multiple years in a row. This is why I don't love the Guardians relying on the bullpen so heavily. All right. Let's turn the page. Let's get to the Browns, where Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com was on with Baskin and Phelps today and talked about a potential scenario of getting Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, and doesn't think it's all necessarily that much of a possibility.
I can't see that happening. I really do believe that some team, if the Browns don't want Shedeur at number two, I think that either the Giants are going to take him at number three or somebody else. I don't think that you can take that chance. And here's the other thing that I don't think that you can take a chance on. I don't think you can believe that maybe you have a sleeper quarterback somewhere that you're going to be able to wait and get until 33, because teams will trade up. They will pay a premium for these quarterbacks, and some of them will go way higher than anybody believes that they should, because that is just the nature of the beast. So if you think that you can wait until 33 and get your guy, I think that's taking an enormous risk.
Yeah, and this is where my battle comes in of looking at, oh, well, Jake, the 2022 class, right? Only one quarterback goes in the first round. They all waited. And it's not really the feeling on this quarterback class. That's why I hate the comparison between the two. Because there's a lot of guys who you could see being potential second rounders, potential third and fourth rounders, where it doesn't feel like every single guy is going to slip into the third round. Or even if you're talking about Shedeur, the potential fall to 33. I don't love banking on that. Mary Kay said it. Quarterbacks do get pushed up the board. Teams do take swings. I'd also find it hard to believe that if the Browns wanted to rely on getting Shedeur at 33, that they'd have a real opportunity to do it. Or even if the Browns wanted to rely on getting back to 16, I don't know that the Saints aren't taking him. I don't know that a team like Pittsburgh isn't trading up to say, no, I'll take the quarterback. Thank you very much. All right, let's get out of here with comments from Albert Breer talking about if the Browns don't go quarterback, it would be pretty much a conversation of Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, which he feels is a safer pick.
What the Browns and Giants are doing for Shedeur Sanders, they're also doing for Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. And I still think, guys, the likelihood is that Sanders makes it out of the top three and the other two don't. I could see Shedeur Sanders going third. I could see him going 33rd. I look at this situation a lot like I saw the Bo Nix situation a year ago, where this is really going to come down to fit and a team being higher on Shedeur than maybe the rest of the league is.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know that I love trying to compare the two and try to figure out where it is, trying to find where Shedeur ends up actually falling. But let's play with the idea for a little bit, and that'll do it for the station buzz. Always good to hear from our station's guests there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.